Footprint Show, where we talk about government, music, art, health, science, ufology, religion, metaphysics, and all things spiritual. In short, we'll examine the truth. And when we find things that aren't right, we'll offer creative solutions. And now, the host of Evident Footprints, Don Nikoloff. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Evident Footprints on BBSRadio.com. It's so nice to have you with us this evening, March the 18th on the West Coast, now March the 19th on the East Coast and in the Central Time Zone. We'll be with you for the next hour. Tonight's guest is going to join us momentarily. He has a website, as you've heard me say before, called educate-yourself.org. And it's a wonderful repository of all kinds of hard-to-find, truthful information regarding a variety of topics. He features many researchers, authors, science, metaphysics, the fringe topics that are so seldom discussed on mainstream radio except around this time of the night or evening, depending on where you are in the country, even the early morning hours. And he is not just a webmaster. He is also an excellent researcher, a journalist, an author, a metaphysician, and a practicing metaphysician, I might add. He is an inventor of sorts, and he's our good friend, Ken Adachi. Ken, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much, Don. I'm so happy to be on with you again.
There are so many things to talk about, Ken, and I want to let you sort of run with topics, but we've got a couple of issues that I briefly want to mention. One is this House Resolution number 875, I believe the number is, and Senate Resolution 425. Now, in essence, this House resolution is being sponsored by 39 members of Congress who are... One, the main sponsor is related to someone who's working for Monsanto. And this has to do now with impinging upon the rights of farmers to grow crops. They're intending to criminalize the growing of crops. This is absolute insanity. It's absolute corruption. I would say, you know, we're in the throes of a dictatorship, whether anyone wants to realize it or not. And with this legislation comes severe penalties, like a $1 million fine, and the seizure of one's private property. We're talking about real estate. It's another aspect of the real estate scam taking on a whole new dimension. And I know that you may have been following this to some extent. I tried to spend some time on your site in the last couple of days, and I know that people are concerned. Now there are people just waking up to all of what's going on, and they're so far behind. I don't think they'll ever catch up to really understanding the scope of what's been happening to this country, what's happened to the economy, what's happened to our civil rights, our constitutional rights. The documents themselves are considered cannon fodder or toilet refuse by the lawmakers. I had Walter Burian on last night, just literally talking about all the corruption and they see it as legal, what they're doing, and the fact that Congress and the Senate is made up of primarily 65% or greater attorneys, and so these people are expert at twisting things in their favor. We have these bailout issues. There are so many things to talk about. I'd like you to comment briefly on these resolutions that I mentioned, if you can bring some clarity to it. If not, you know, we can discuss anything you feel like discussing tonight. I know you have a lot on your mind, so
okay. Well, thank
I'm
you.
Turning it over to you.
Okay. Well, let's talk about that that bill, 875. Typically, when the manipulators who want to bring in the New World Order, they want to, I call it takeover of America. It's as good a term as any. That's what they're in the throes of doing. We have a government. We've been acclimated to a government for 230-some-odd years, in which it's based on a constitution and a Declaration of Independence that emphasizes the rights of individuals over the control of the state or the government. And because of the financial and military and physical size of the country, we're still the greatest power on the planet, although we've gone into a deep decline because of subversion, an intentional subversion of the strength of the country, you know, the financial strength, the industrial strength, the military strength, et cetera. It's been intentionally infiltrated, let's say, and watered down and weakened to set us up for a collapse of America. Now, gradually, throughout most of the 20th century, the manipulators, I use the term Illuminati repeatedly simply because it gives us one word to isolate these cast of characters who have been planning since really the same year the country was declared its independence from Britain, in 1776. You had one of these agents from Germany, a guy named Adam Weishaupt, who declared on, you know, the May 1 of that same year that essentially this cabal, these planners, these manipulators behind the scene will simply take this country over and infiltrate it and rot it from the inside. That was his words. And so throughout most of the 20th century, they have, by decree and step, infiltrated into every important determining strata of society and government and military and police and law enforcement, etc. There are agents in schools to the point that now the majority of the U.S. Congress are acting in the interest of this cabal, which is attempting to undermine and destroy the United States. So they're properly called traitors. They're subverting the country. They're subverting their own people. They're pretending to represent the people, but they're, in fact, they're agents on behalf of this group. Mm-hmm. Lately, I refer to them as NWO sellouts. Now, a woman by the name of Rosa DeLauro is one of those sellouts. She's ostensibly a leftist Democrat, extreme leftist Democrat from Connecticut. Now, Connecticut, for people who don't know, Connecticut, Massachusetts, New York, Rhode Island, these states, New Jersey, these states are very deeply ingrained, you know, in Stalinist mindset, you know. Socialism is their deal. I used to live there, I know. So naturally the politicians that tend to rise to power there tend to be of the left, and they're very much of the socialist ideology. Now, you advance socialism far enough, you go from a kind of a nanny state mentality until the state is completely running the show. We call that communism. Mm-hmm. And on the opposite side of the spectrum, you know, when you were in school, we learned that there's supposedly these two extremes of state control. On the left, we call it, on the left, we call it communism. Socialism dissolves into communism in extreme form. And on the right, we call it fascism, you know, like conservatives supposedly can, if it goes to a deep enough level, dissolve into fascism. And that's what you had with Mussolini and Hitler, for instance, in Europe in the Second World War. They embraced this notion. Well, fascism, you know, just for the short explanation, is kind of a a marriage of convenience of the state and big business. Corporations in the state are essentially working hand in hand to control the game, to hold all the power and to control the people and to build a state which suits their purposes.
Mm-hmm.
In both cases, in either extreme, the state is controlling the individual, whether it's communism or fascism. So this notion that they're at opposite ends, it's really a circle. Ultimately, fascism and communism work out to the same deal. It's the state controlling you.
Mm-hmm.
The individual, it's the state is above all God, and you are this little servant there to serve that God, and therefore you have no rights of your own. You don't have a right to a family. You don't have a right to self-determination. You don't have a right to decide what you're going to do, where you're going to go to school, what your kids, who's going to raise your kids. So we're moving into that. So it doesn't really matter whether you call it communism or fascism. We're arriving at the same place.
Mm-hmm.
The state controls your life. Now, Rosa DeLauro is one of these ideologues, as many of them are on the left from that region. Barney Frank, for instance, from Massachusetts. These people are, they call themselves representatives. They're communists. It's what they are, because
mm-hmm.
they're trying to usher in communism. And this
yeah.
bill is a perfect example of what happens in a country like Red China or Stalinist Russia. The state takes control of everything. Now, they want to put in, under the disguise or under the guise of safety measures, of protection to the public, this absolutely obscene set of rules in which the state will decide what's going to happen when it comes to farming. The state's going to decide, A, who can and who can't farm. The state's going to decide what methodology, what materials, what fertilizers, what seeds, what applications, etc., that the farmer can or cannot employ.
Yeah, and this is designed to profit or benefit Monsanto, who there's a direct.
Obviously, these
yeah.
clearly are the lobbyists in the background. This woman's husband, for Pete's sakes, works for Monsanto.
Mm-hmm.
She introduced this bill last year. It was buried in committee and never went anywhere. But this year, she reintroduced it. And at the time that I wrote my first, put up my first little piece about March 13th, of all dates, at that point, there was a total of besides her, and 29 sponsors added up to 30. And I mentioned on my page, this number 30 is the same number of pieces of silver that Judas got when he betrayed Christ to the Romans.
Mm-hmm.
Now I guess the sponsorship, the co-sponsorship is up to 39. Well, last week we had 30 New World Order sellouts who clearly demonstrated their allegiance to the principles of communism and New Orleans, and now we have 39. This is serious because this bill, along with another bill that Reverend Ted Pike has been talking about, and I've also put up, which is essentially what's called a hate speech bill. These two bills are moving fast through the Congress because they want to pass them, and they don't want a esteemed head of opposition to build up among the people. They want to ram it right through. I got to remind you, this is how all of the Constitution-busting legislation that the current crop of traitors occupying the White House and the Congress, they're using the same methodology. Remember the inside job of that happened
mm-hmm.
September 11, 2001? Within 3 or 4 weeks, it was by mid-October, they had passed the Patriot Act. Most of those people in Congress admitted publicly they hadn't even read it.
Mm-hmm.
The most severe stripping of you know, major constitutional rights from the people, and they hadn't even read it.
Did they read the stimulus package either. You know.
Right. Well, I was going to get there, but you're right.
Yeah.
So that's the methodology. Present to the public what looks like or what is trumped up or what's staged to be a crisis event in which, we must make a decision now. Ergo 9/11. It's an inside job. It was internal sabotage. It was an operation of sabotage carried out with the blessings of our own military, our CIA, our FBI, the Mossad, MI5, MI6. It was an intelligence operation, just as, the earlier attack on the World Trade Center in 1993, just as the Oklahoma City bombing. These are all internal subversion sabotage operations. We got to remember that. Why? Why? Because you have traitors who are in control overall, who are in control of the government, who are trying to create the excuse, the pretext for killing off the Constitution and bring in this martial law police state, which and the police state which will follow. That's what we call totalitarianism, and that's where we're marching unrelentingly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so, if I could comment quickly. I happen, and this is really not changing the topic. Number one, we have a caller waiting to come on board to either make a comment or ask a question. But before we bring the caller on, I just want to acknowledge the fact that you have the Union Jack posted on your site. And I found it quite by accident, or maybe it was because I was doing a little perusing on your site and reading a communication that you had. And I'm actually looking for that for the past couple of weeks, looking for a place where I could get a copy of it, and I found it last night on your site. So I want to commend you for posting that, and I want to recommend to the listening audience, I forget the title of the letter, but it was a lady who said she was a Christian. What can I do? It was something to that that effect, yes. The title of the email that she had sent you. And you had responded and you recommended reading that. This is really, what you're describing, Ken, is the concept of British Israelism, or British Israelism, which is this dual, duplicitous concept of politics and religion, portraying itself to be something other than what it really is. And it pits communism against Christianity, with the hope of, we're going to have this world peace, take place. Just today, Barack Obama passed a law that the phrase war on terror is illegal now. So I guess I should say war on, or do I say on terror, or do I say war terror? How are you supposed to say the words? They invented the words, and now for us to use their phrase, first of all, it's a ruse anyway. So I applaud him for acknowledging that it's, quote, fear-mongering. The Homeland Security Secretary Napolitano said that it's fear-mongering to use that kind of language, but it was okay to start a war or to start two wars.
Correct.
It was okay to lie about the real perpetrators of 9/11 and to cover up the mass murder and the corruption, the incredible financial corruption that occurred. So I just wanted to make that statement because we have all of these duplicitous lying smokescreen types of statements and laws being passed that they can try to create fear amongst the populace. You're going to say, well, you can't say these three words. Excuse me, where's the First Amendment there? Okay?
Right.
You can't say these three words now because King Usurper has declared it illegal to say that. Okay?
Oh. I hope. Go ahead. Go ahead, continue. Yeah, continue.
But I'm going to allow you to comment. Let's take this call, though. We've got Ron from Pennsylvania calling in. Ron, welcome to Evident Footprints.
How are you gentlemen doing this evening?
Hi, Ron.
Oh, This is a barn burner. Can't you tell?
Yeah, I can. I had mentioned this act to a couple of times in other programs, but there may be people listening this evening here that may not be listening to other programs and so forth. And as I stated earlier, I didn't want to beat a dead horse again. But H.R. 75, I have the entire regulation in front of me, the authorized version out of the government printing office. Now, there are terms and definitions within there that only and solely apply to import, export, process, food level facilities, inclusions, contaminations, and so forth, retail, interstate commerce, and so forth. None of this is intended, as I read it so far in the 117 pages, to apply to the backyard gardener that entirely consumes his or her own product without resale, such as myself. Now, I have almost 1,000 square feet that I'm going to plant, and maybe next year it may be doubled. As long as I don't sell one tomato or one turnip, there's nothing that can be done. And the home gardener is not even mentioned in here in definitions. Now, the problem is some of the small truck farmers and the Amish, which we have around here, and guys that sell out of the back of their truck that are legitimate farmers may run into a lot of problems and be driven out of business with this. Now, that... Do you remember that, what was it, that Jew out west that had that chicken facility that was kosher that they raided here for illegal immigration? God knows what kind of slaughtered chicken that he was raising. Now, the processing houses, the storage facilities, and all of this kind of thing are the ones, and the aqua farms and so on, are the ones that operate commercially for resale, are the ones going to be under scrutiny as far as what I read, this H.R. 875. And I've noticed people have been panicking on this kind of thing. I got an email from a guy. He says, oh, they're going to stop us from doing this and doing that. Mm-hmm. Well, I downloaded the bill, and it's not going to, you know, be affected whatsoever. Now, the bill is very vague in a number of areas. They don't say how they're going to test this food, whether it's going to be on-site, in a lab, what they're going to look for, what level of contaminants are accepted. There is a lot of provisions in the bill that are yet to be determined and yet to be interpreted.
But yeah, this is rather dichotomous, Ron, in respect to the fact that they're spraying chemtrails in the sky. I would presume that all crops that come into contact with chemtrails are going to be affected.
So well, I've observed the chemtrails around here, and they're almost non-existent anymore. For some reason, I guess we don't hold much people's interest for some reason. But I've seen checkerboards, Roman numerals, you name it, it's been up there, almost like skywriters.
Yeah.
Lately, that just hasn't existed for some reason. I don't know why. If it's the locale or for other reasons, I couldn't answer.
Yeah.
But I don't see as this Bill 875 affecting me or a lot of other guys that farm or garden. In fact, in the city limits that I live in, the ordinance for well over 100 years has taken into account in the city farm and garden, and they're excluded. They're grandfathered because all the old Europeans that came here, they all had gardens. That's how they lived. And that has never been written out of the ordinance. Not that I pay attention if they wrote it out anyway. I just go ahead and do what I want on my own property. But there's no jurisdiction here. But there may be problems for other people that as they get into this, say they sell something down the street to the neighbor. Well, normally a neighbor's not going to get on the phone to the FDA and start yelling and screaming. But for the spies that may be around the neighborhood, and I wonder how much money is this going to cost to hire all these bozos to come around and snoop in the neighborhoods and to even test this stuff. Somebody's got to pay for this.
Yeah. Ken, do you want to comment on this?
Yes, I have a number of things to say. First, I don't agree with Ron's conclusion that it will not affect the home or gardener and that there is no provisions here that will interfere with growing anything. That's not the case at all. I have a copy of the bill as well as I've read it. Now, let me finish. There's a number of people who have responded on the Internet, particularly because I've gotten some email from people. I posted this notice about this bill on March 13th, and I got a letter, an email, from a lady named Deborah, who wanted me to know that there was a woman who has been posting a number of articles about the dangers of this bill. Her name is Lynn Cohen Cole, and that her this emailer Deborah wanted me to know that in her opinion, that she thought this Lynn woman was sort of part of a disinformation campaign. She jumped to the conclusion that the woman was connected with Rima Labal, who, if you're familiar with the information about codex, etc., Rima Labal and her husband, former General Albert Stumblebine, are now recognized as kind of, let's say, controlled opposition agents who are really, who have insinuated themselves into the natural health movement, let's say, trying to appear to be proponents of this area, but are really trying to, let's say, be a fifth column within the movement. Well, anyway, this Deborah woman was quite convinced that Lynn was a part of the was working for, she said, Labal. Now, what I did is that this Deborah characterized somewhat similar to what as having overreached in her statement. She called her articles hysterical, exaggerated, et cetera, et cetera. What I did is I went first to the website of the lady who it's the same lady, Deborah, in her email, gave me a website of a woman who has a blog called Jill Richardson. And she, I was told in this email, has a more balanced point of view. So I went there and I read what this lady had to say. And she essentially says, oh, you're getting too excited. It's just not a big deal. It's not going to affect home farming. People are overreacting. They're going nuts, blah, blah, blah. She, too, put down this woman, Lynn, as being hysterical and engaging in histrionics and other similar words to cast aspersions on. Okay, so I read everything that Jill had to say, and then I went and I actually read what the evil Lynn Cohen Cole had to say herself. And after reading what she had to say, the woman's evaluation sounds perfectly legitimate to me, perfectly reasonable in all regards. And now Lynn herself describes herself as a leftist who got to be friends with libertarians and farmers. And she was pointing out in essays that you have this portion of, you know, what might be called the environmentally sensitive groups that this Jill Richardson might represent, who sort of seem to represent the interest of growers, farmers, etc., but actually isn't a farmer. And she says that the farmers themselves have been very vocal in their opposition to this bill to people such as this Jill Richardson. And above all, they've been sending in reams of complaints to Rosa DeLauros. And she's the one who kicked off the bill. And they're virtually ignoring the farmers. They might be paying them lip service at best, but they're sort of peddling this notion that there's nothing, you don't get excited. Well, I've read the it took quite a deal, and I read it, and there are many provisions in there that do or open the door, let's say, to exactly the sort of controls that Lynn Cohen Cole is hysterically talking about. So the wording is entirely too vague. And it gives the option of determining what X, Y, and Z means to bureaucrats. And who are these bureaucrats? Well, as it turns out, they're probably going to be bureaucrats from big agriculture, because the people who will be appointed to make the decision to decide whether this is, under the bill or that's out of the bill, they aren't going to be elected positions. They're not going to be government people. They're going to be appointed positions.
How
many doors are open here that are being presented here to lead straight into Stalinist-type Russian control of people's right to grow fruit?
Yeah, so how many of those people do you think have Monsanto stock in their portfolio, and how many of those people do you think also have aspartame in their stock, and why aren't they going after the peddlers of rat poison? You know, they want to talk about food safety. They've been selling this crap for years.
Well, first, and there's another point here. Beyond the numerous openings in this bill which will make it possible. You listen, there's a rule, anyone who's been around long enough to know what's going on in this country, there's an old adage, give them an inch, they'll take a mile. Give the government an inch and they'll take 20 miles. You do not open doors. Now, you have this phony communist, Barney Frank, shooting his mouth off on TV for the last 5 days about how it's terrible it is these AIG executives take 165 million bonuses. As I was mentioning to you on the phone a night or two ago, Don, it was Barney Frank, Chris Dodd, Chris Shays, Nancy Pelosi, who were ramming through this damn bailout, telling us back in October of last year, we've got to pass this right away. The whole country is hanging in the balance. The credit markets are about to crash. We're in big trouble. We don't have time. We can't debate this. We got to do this. We got to get it through. Bing, bing, bing. You got to vote on it. Okay, you had a small handful of Republicans who balked. The first time they tried to pass it, they turned it down. Man, they came down on those guys like a ton of bricks. And it didn't take them but another week, week and a half, 2 weeks. I can't remember exactly. They passed it again.
It was within a week, if not a matter of days.
Exactly.
They just turned around, and they were threatened with martial law, they claimed.
Now, instead of trying to, quote, fix this communist manifesto of a bill, let me say right up front, the government has no business in this arena at all. We already have in place in this country more than enough laws controlling food production industry, controlling the dairy industry. We already have enough, Ron. We don't need another set of communist laws to tell us what we can and can't do in this country. There is
Let Ron respond. Please.
Okay, I'm just going to read very briefly for about 10 seconds here or something. There's an exclusionary provision in here. And I know enough about legalese to know that if you are excluded or don't exist, you can forget the jurisdiction because it's not going to take place. Now, the exclusions to this, for the purposes of registration, the term food establishment does not include a food production facility as defined in paragraph 14, which I'll get to in a moment, restaurant, other retail food establishment, non-profit food establishment, in which food is prepared or served directly to the consumer or fishing vessel, other than this, that, so forth. 14, food production facility. The term food production facility means any farm, ranch, orchard, vineyard, aquaculture facility, or confined animal feeding operation. Now, they're going to go after the people that are required to be registered. The private guy in his backyard that vacuums, freezes, and consumes it himself is not even subject to registration, let alone scrutiny. This is why I say the exclusionary clause in here isn't even mentioned. The person is a non-existing entity that the backyard guy's got no problems. The way I see it now within the realm of the definition.
Yeah. Well, the way I interpret it, Ron, if I can just interject here.
Sure.
The way I interpret that term, food production facility, that's what a garden is.
Well,
what
all
else
these
is
are
it?
Trade terms, trade names, commercial, retail, establishment. There's terms in law. I've got dictionaries a foot thick on this kind of stuff, and if they ever come down here, they're going to start to learn a few things like get off the property.
Yeah, they're putting everything under the Uniform Commercial Code is what they're doing.
Yeah, okay. And this didn't just start here. First, steps. There are laws that have been passed since which have increasingly taken over control of as food producers, particularly livestock. If you remember, in the year or two or three, I can't remember the exact dates, but they were there was a number of instances because it started in. Particularly in Europe, in which they kill off a lot of cows under the pretext of mad cows disease. And what they did is they killed thousands of head of cows that had no disease at all.
Mm-hmm.
And what they used is the pretext were some farms in some instances of infected cows, but it wasn't the pandemic that they were trying to sell in the media. It wasn't, and that hysteria came over to this country because they started to gather up sheep from farms and somewhere in New England, I'm trying to remember, New Hampshire or Vermont, and they just came in there and they just took all this guy's sheep. He had 2, 4, 5, 6 thousand head of sheep. They just took it just from him. All in that somehow he, I forget what, there was no legitimate reason, but somehow they had some talk or scare of the one might have been infected, so we got to just take the whole. Well, I saw that when I was very much concerned at the time it was happening. I told myself, my God, they're going to use as a pretext to just destroy thousands of head of livestock in England, here in the United States, so that they make us more dependent on the government. They pull off a crisis situation. We won't be able to. You won't have independent farmers producing food. You just have government control. You know, big ag. So mm-hmm. this ratcheting up of state control over food production. This didn't start with this bill. It's already in place. And what this bill does, it follows in line with the thrust of earlier efforts. You know, I used to see when I was younger, in the movies or TV, I can't remember exactly, when they had films that talked about the advancement of communism, the way they always expressed it is that the communists take two steps forward and then take one step backward. In other words, they make a very bold, dramatic, draconian move of two steps forward, and they get enough, let's say, public resistance that to ameliorate the public, to satisfy them, they back off somewhat from where they were, and the people feel, well, okay, well, we have to do this, but still it wasn't as bad as they proposed it, so we'll accept that. And then they go along with that agenda for a while, for a year or two or three, a decade, then they do the same thing again. And
yeah.
Essentially, that's what this government is doing. The traitors in this government are proceeding in the same way. They take two bold steps forward, and then they retreat a little.
There's no legitimate reason for this other than control, is what I would say.
Exactly. That's
There's
the
no
point
legitimate
I
reason.
Emphasize.
Yeah, yeah.
So I'm sure I can spend a lot of time going through the bill and come up with those sections that support the notion that home farmers, et cetera, are going to be more adversely affected than Ron is suggesting. However, there's no need for the bill. That's the most important overriding understanding here. This pretext of the government has to protect us is totally bogus. The government has never protected the public. They never will protect the public. What the government does is harm the public repeatedly. And the more control power we give to them, the more they harm them. We have to be thinking about taking power back from the government, not giving them more. Ron, your turn.
Okay, I agree with you on the cattle thing, which I didn't bring up. Even though we can have farms in the city, I never saw the need for a farm down here. And I'm going to see a guy tomorrow who only has like 50-some head of cattle. He has dairy cattle. He has an auction house as well. He has the second best dairy herd in the nation. Now, how they gauge that is the quality of the animals, the milk yield, the quality of the yield, the facilities, the machines, on and on and on and on. Now, I don't know if you know, but 80% or 85% of the beef total produced in the United States, whether it's for domestic or for export, is from herds, 52 head and under and less. The 200,000 herd head corrals, which I've seen, they are a very small minority. The bulk of it comes from the small guys. And for that reason, plus the food as we're touching upon here, there's no way that half the population in the United States would have to be trained in food scrutiny in order to go ahead and affect this needless bill, as you say. You're quite correct on that. So within the letter of the law, as it is expressed here, if I ever have any difficulty, I'll know exactly how to move on it. But we don't even need this kind of thing. Now, I don't know if this is scheduled for a vote or if it's still going to be changed or what, but as it is worded right now, the exclusions don't apply to the home gardener because the term garden is not even mentioned. So
when they use ambiguous terminology like food production facility or agricultural production facility.
The facility in law has a certain definition. I'm going to do more research and put some riders onto this kind of thing, and I'll be able to.
Yeah, yeah. We're not trying to shoot down what you're saying, Ron. Understand that we're just reading into this. These bills never come up for any purpose other than to take power away from the people and give it to these criminals. And I have to call them criminals.
Who's going to pay for all these people out there?
What's that?
Who's going to pay for all these people out there to go out and register and affect this?
They create that money out of thin air, don't they? Of course, the air is not so thin anymore with all the chemtrails. It's gotten pretty thick. so we're going to have to change the definition of the Federal Reserve, too.
Things here and run some things by you, and the bill, it's, like I say, you could print this thing out, take a look at it. Maybe you have a copy there.
I haven't downloaded it yet. I have to tell you, I have been extremely busy, you know, with personal issues, but I do want to make it a point to look at this.
Uh-huh.
And I have read a little bit. In fact, I've heard you on a couple of shows, Ron, where you've discussed this. So I'm not saying you're wrong. I'd like to think that you're right, but why do the farmers need these controls? Why not, you know, where I see contamination of crops come in is when you have illegal aliens or you have illegal spraying of the crops by government entities or government-condoned agencies that are covertly spraying all kinds of bacteria and viruses and elements that have no business being in the air, let alone on our foods.
I know it's a problem, and you can't legislate a problem away. It doesn't work that way.
Well, then you remove the cause of the problem, then.
Well, we have to remove a lot of people, then, I suppose.
However you want to describe that. I think we understand what we mean, right?
Well, I'll conclude. I'll just leave you go. I just thought I'd, make a commentary on this because I do have some feeling on it. And I think we're safe for the most part. But then again, it won't hurt to, just follow this thing through and see where it goes.
Yeah. Well, you know what? There's a fundamental principle to nourishment. And I'm just talking about basic foods. That people born in the Midwest do best eating foods grown in the Midwest.
That's right.
People in the Southwest do best eating foods grown in the Southwest. And likewise, in the East and the Southeast and wherever you are in the country, you adapt best to the foods that are most commonly found in your climate, with exception, of course, because certain places can't grow oranges. All right? But there are many benefits to eating oranges, regardless of where they come from. The issue of importing all the foods from China certainly is quite an aberration from what I just described. I'm sure you would agree, and Ken would agree.
Uh-huh.
This is done intentionally, and they're taking our crops and they're sending them over to Mexico, where the Mexican farmers cannot afford to sell their crops because they can't compete with this. Now, we're paying exorbitant prices, and they're shipping our produce to places like Mexico, and they're selling them at such a low price that the local farmers cannot grow. This is intentional. They're doing the same thing in the oil industry to the Saudis. They've driven the price of oil down so that the Saudis no longer can afford to produce oil because they can't make a profit. Okay? These things are done intentionally, and people aren't really paying attention to it, and what you're hearing on the media is nothing but lies and propaganda. I conclude my rant with that, Ron. I want to thank you for calling in. Keep us updated, if you would, please, on what you find out.
Okay, I will do that. Take care, gentlemen. See you again.
Okay. Ken, you want to comment?
Well, I just want to, drive home the point that we shouldn't be talking about fixing this bill or trying to pull out our hair to get people like DeLauro or any of the other New World Order sellouts who have got on board with this bill. We shouldn't be trying to knock ourselves out to try to sweet-talk them. What we ought to be doing is emphasizing the fact that this is a a very severe move, to greatly increase the power of government's control over our lives, and that they always use vague, ambiguous, interpretable language to really slip in these what very often turn out to be very devastating laws that are just, just robbing us of our liberties, constitutional liberties. You know, look how that the former crew of fifth columnists and traitors, the Bush administration, look what a shambles they made of the Constitution, which they King Bush decided that he alone waves his wand and calls this or that person, whoever decides, a non-combatant. Suddenly this guy doesn't have any constitutional rights anymore. He can be held in prison forever without even being charged. And how do they achieve that? By vaguely worded bills of the sort that of the class that this so-called organic farming bill is about. We have to stop this, and we have to stop the entire process.
They're changing the language of terrorism now to be called something. I'm paraphrasing this exactly because it's so insane. I can't even describe it word for word, but it's something like a human act which causes a catastrophe, a humanly caused catastrophe. That's the sort of language they're using. What happened to this word terrorism? Well, right. No one was buying the word because it's contrived. So now they're going to contrive another phrase. To me, you want to talk about
another contrivance, right?
Yeah, you want to talk about conspiracy theory? That's a theory, okay? And it's whacked out. It doesn't. It's not even prefaced with a hypothesis. It's just word games. More word games.
In Europe, to drive home the point you're making here, in Europe, they made certain thoughts or certain ideas. If you embrace them publicly, they made it a crime. They call it thought crime, and that's recently what they did in Canada. If you remember, if you mentioned in the show, there's two bills that are being run through Congress. There's this one, the organic farming control bill, but there's a second one. It's called the hate speech bill.
Mm-hmm.
And there, too, the wording will follow the same model as this bill. Vague, easy to, the government to decide on what the meaning is. We can't allow, this is the modern version of subversion. I'm sorry, but you're not going to get your traitors being upfront with you about the treason. They're not going to come on TV and say, listen, we're part of this, a group of elites called the Illuminati, and we essentially want to be kings, and we want to have at least the ones of you who we decide can continue to live on Earth, since we plan to wipe out about 85 or 90% of you, but those of you who we decide will allow to live here, you're going to be essentially be our servants and serfs for us. So we need to tell you that in order to get rid of this foolish form of government that we have now, this ridiculous republic and this insane constitution, we have to eviscerate it. So just understand that we're really doing this for your good. Ultimately, the New World Order, when we're all kings and, we're divided into kings and serfs, and the only religion that will be allowed will be Satanism, and we're all worshiping Lucifer and having satanic sacrifices, and we're all in this one happy, one world nightmare, it'll be much better for you. This is, you don't know it yet, but this is really what you want. No, they don't present themselves that way. They present themselves with trickery, deception, and bills that are vaguely worded to open up the door so they can interpret what a enemy combatant is. They can determine what what's the words the Bushman administration was using that essentially was a euphemism for torture? Extreme persuasion tactics or whatever nonsense they come up with. They will always substitute euphemistic expressions. They will always embrace the name of a bill, which is opposite to its true intent. We talked about this before, but we have to remind people this is the Orwellian way. You call it the Patriot Act when it's really a traitor's act. And this bill, they have a subname for it. I'm trying to remember exactly what it is. It's come to me in a minute here. It's I got it in my own thing here. Hold on, I'll come. It's called the Food Safety Modernization Act of 2009. What a wonderful title! They always have a wonderful title to go along with their tyranny. Always, always, always. So the people who are paying close attention to this do point out those specifics in the bill that will make it so that the government will essentially outlaw organic farming, because they will interpret, just like now, they're within days of passing a FDA-sponsored legislation that's going to turn colloidal silver, you ready for this, into a pesticide. Now, the United States government has been trying to get a hold of this simple element from nature. Silver is an element of nature, okay? It's not a drug.
They use silver for money. So we've been dealing in pesticides all the time silver?
So, since growing interest in colloidal silver, particularly, since probably the late 80s into the 90s at Health Expo, people find out that, hey, colloidal silver kills germs. This is amazing stuff. So because the government has tried, they tried in the late 90s, and they tried again around 2002, I believe, to run through regulations that would put the FDA in charge of regulating the sale of colloidal silver. It's a mineral. It's mineral water.
Mm-hmm.
But because it has germicidal properties, the government doesn't want you to be able to get that mineral water.
It's not toxic.
It's not toxic. In fact, there was an Italian study done. I have it in a book that I put together, compiled, about the benefits of colloidal silver. It's a 1988 Italian study, which fed to a group of rats either just plain water or water that was colloidal silver. Silver was mostly water, but you have silver suspended in it. Well, the rats who were just given the water, same amount, died weeks before the rats who were just given colloidal silver died. In other words, that's all they gave them.
Mm-hmm.
So it's more benign than water. Colloidal is more benign to the body than water is. And yet they're going to now put this under FDA jurisdiction, calling it a pesticide. Now, the reason they're doing that is that as the popularity of colloidal silver began to grow, manufacturers started to notice that they could impregnate cloth with silver particles. They got a germicidal action, so they started to use that for burn victims and so forth. And found that there was, you could like put one of these inserts into shoes, and typically fungus and mold can grow in shoes. That's why, shoes, for instance, smell, because bacteria is growing from the feet in the shoe. Well,
also because feet smell too. In some cases,
but again, it's because due to bacteria, rotting bacteria.
I understand.
That's where it's producing it. Well, I learned from Bob Beck back in the mid-90s when he used to give talks on colloidal silver. Spray colloidal silver in your shoes if you have foot shoe odor, and the odor will go away. It's over recital. Well,
yeah.
Anyway,
and Ken, you're breaking up a little bit. Can you make sure your connection is solid? Your mic connection.
Okay.
Yeah, we're getting a little bit of a looping.
Okay, let me see if I can, let me close down a window or two here, if I can get away with that. Okay, this should be a little bit better after this happens. Okay, so getting back to the virtues of silver, now the government is going to pass this again under the pretext of protecting the public when they are now classifying a mineral, a natural mineral of nature, as a pesticide. It's mm-hmm. bogus. It's utterly bogus. But they keep on in this unending march towards complete domination of the society by the government.
Mm-hmm.
And so every bill that is working in this, being planted in that field, needs to be torn out by the roots. So we shouldn't be talking about, oh, well, there's an exclusion. I don't have to worry about this bill. No, 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 no. You have to worry about this bill and every other bill that these traitors in Congress are ramming through with each passing month, because we are not going to be living in a free society very long from now. You will mm-hmm. have to get the government's permission to do anything. So that's why I'm upset about this. That's why I'm upset with notions that, oh, there's exclusion. We don't have to worry. No, you definitely have to worry about this, because it's
yeah.
part of the same thrust to take away our liberties. We have
yeah.
to stop it.
Now, there are people promoting now, and I'm not saying that this is totally erroneous, but there's also a hidden motive. You hear about all of these, what would we call them, psychotropic drugs, these drugs that are mood alterers, particularly the ones that supposedly treat depression, and the people that are on these drugs are committing suicide and committing mass murder. Of course, the stories always are preceded by comments about guns, that the people go into areas and they go into a building, and they go into a public place, and shoot a bunch of people. Now, guns don't kill people. People kill people. And people who are unstable are not unstable because they own a gun or they've gotten possession of a gun. It's these drugs. You stop producing the drugs. You stop giving the drugs and prescribing them to people that are susceptible to acting that way. And there is no monitoring of these people. And if there is, it's not being conducted in a proper fashion, that they can detect mood swings and changes in personality and that. And they know these drugs cause these personalities. These are, in fact, I would venture to say that when you take a person and give them a drug that's supposed to cure their depression, and they go out and kill a bunch of people, obviously they know something about the drug that they're not telling us. Because if it's supposed to make them happier, are you telling me now that being happy makes a person want to kill another person or a group of people they don't even know? This is insanity.
Yes, yes, in every aspect of these corporate people who are, you know, essentially the driving force, the Rockefellers and the Rothschilds and the DuPonts, etc. They're not just the idle rich sitting in their castles. They're the corporate rich. You have to remember that. So the pharmaceutical industry is dominated, always has been, by the Rockefeller Empire and by German pharmaceutical interest groups, people. And they sell us this notion that, or let's say they've commandeered medicine in the West, in America and Europe and Asia, what's called Western medicine, with a model that is as bogus as they are. It's a study in opposites. There is nothing that drugs can do that natural substance can not only do, but do it correctly, because a natural substance is in harmony with nature, a nature-derived mm-hmm. substance, and these drugs artificially produced in laboratory from petroleum. Most people don't know that. Drugs are made from something that's derived from oil. It's called coal tar products.
Mm-hmm.
All drugs are made with coal tar. Okay, so we're using things that are not suitable for the body. Oil belongs in the ground. okay? It doesn't belong in our body. But that's what you're doing when you're taking drugs. You're taking a product that came from oil. It's now in your body. Artificially manipulating your organ systems, the cells of your body, to have an effect that is perhaps in the symptom. Certainly not curing the problem. It's covering up the symptom.
Can you imagine grabbing a quart of motor oil and drinking it because you're thirsty? Yet over a period of time, that's what you're doing in a sense. Maybe not in the same molecular composition, but petroleum is petroleum.
Yeah, and it's a carbohydrate that's that has a certain specific structure, and all pharmaceuticals are based on that structure. Okay,
I was just going to make a point. Cooking foods, for instance, in certain types of plastic containers, and let's say in microwaving those foods in those containers, causes those containers to break down. And so that's another way people consume that. Now, just to make sure that you're getting your daily quota of petroleum, they put it in virtually... I can't say with 100% in every type of pharmaceutical, but the majority. They're used as binding agents and delivery agents many
and
times.
More than that, I mentioned to you the last time we talked, and we'll probably have to do a show on this.
Yeah.
There are a number of pharmaceutical drugs that are intentionally being contaminated with stealth bacteria and stealth virus. I'm not making this up. You know, there was a dentist who was a wonderful cancer researcher. His name was, Dr. I'm trying to remember the name. Williams? He, I got it wrong. Trying to remember his name now. He's the guy who worked on Steve McQueen. In fact, had very successfully isolated Steve McQueen had a very large tumor inside. It was an abdominal tumor, and this guy had so well. He has a Kelly. I'm sorry, that's Dr. William Kelly. He has a had a protocol based on enzymes. Tumor masses are protein masses. And if you take enough enzymes dissolve protein. And he was able to come up with a blend of enzymes that literally ate away tumors and caused them to completely lose their blood supply, and they would, atrophy. And by continuing to apply this enzyme theory, he literally ate tumor from within the body, and it was, gradually excreted in pieces, of course, into the bloodstream and out of the body. And he successfully treated Steve McQueen, who had an operation. Steve McQueen wanted to have this tumor mass removed rather than wait for the enzymes to eat it out. And Dr. Kelly had advised Steve not to go in for an operation, to just stay on his therapy. The tumor was now dead. He could see it on the x-ray. It was dead. It lost its blood supply. It was no longer growing, of course. It was a dead mass. He said, just, give it a year or two, because, Steve wanted to, get back to making more films, get his weight back. He became quite emaciated near the end. And so he was anxious to get back into it. So he went ahead, against Kelly's advice, had the operation. Well, the tumor literally fell out onto the operating table. It was that disconnected. They didn't have to cut anything. It just flopped out. Now, as it turns out, Steve McQueen was assassinated in that hospital after recovering from the operation. He had a couple black op types dressed up as doctors come into his room in the middle of the night, administer something to him that killed him, and they found him dead the next morning. The man was killed because he was already bragging to Kelly over the phone. He says, "I'm going to bust this whole cancer industry garbage wide open." In other words, he was talking about the orthodox industry, how they suppress alternative, cancer treatments, such as what Kelly was doing. Kelly had a hell of a time of it, in his own life. They went after him, you know, just like they went after Royal Rife and Huxley and, you know, dozens of other Dr. Joseph Issels. I mean, the list goes on and on. Great men who found, you know, unbelievable cures for cancers, who had their lives ruined and their cancer, you know, treatments viciously suppressed.
But the cover story was that Steve McQueen died of cancer.
Exactly. Thank you.
Took
the words out of my mouth. That's exactly what they ran in all the, you know, the pulp tabloids. And so, yeah, and even the wife, who really knew the story, was bitter afterwards because she said, well, if we never took him to that clinic in Mexico, which is where Kelly was located, you know, Steve would still be, she knew that wasn't true, but she had so much pressure on her to embrace the cover story that she did publicly, because, you know, they'll do anything. They'll take your kids out, your grandchildren, you know, they'll, you just don't cross these people. And that's why Steve McQueen was killed. He was assassinated.
Wow. Well,
so anyway.
Well, we're about out of time, Ken.
Yeah.
And I appreciate you coming on. I know you've been feeling a tad bit under the weather, but your energy has been impeccable. Nevertheless, you wouldn't know it. I know you're very passionate about these topics. And
well, yeah, actually, I would prefer to be more even keel in my presentation and not allow passions to rise, because in fact I know it all my life that you accomplish more when you keep an even a calm demeanor. I would say I'm representing the average man. I don't consider myself an orator or a polished spokesman for anything. I'm in every sense, I've told you this before, we've talked about my website, etc. I'm just an average person. I stumbled into this website just out of a desire to talk about natural alternative medicine at a time when there wasn't a lot of information available on the internet. Today there is, but at the time when I cranked mine up, my website in 96, it wasn't, you know, the whole idea of natural medicine wasn't being promoted that much. So I'm just your average guy, and I wish I didn't, but I get riled by things that are clearly wrong, that are clearly unjust. Or what riles me the most is when I see intentional deception, hoodwinking gullible people. This is what bothers me most, more than anything, and this will raise my ire more than anything, when I have someone, often not out of intent, but out of lack of knowledge, out of gullibility, out of naivete, tell me, no, you're all wrong, you're a conspiracy nut, no. That's not the case at all. The conspiracy is real. It's not a theory. They're trying to turn this government, this country, into a tyrannical police state. We must stop every plank of this communist scaffolding that they're erecting. We must take it down. We don't want to fix it. We want to dismantle it.
Well, I agree.
End of rant.
I agree. Well, you're going to be on again. Let's see, what date are you coming on? Do you know the date offhand?
Well, I have it written down somewhere. It's approximately a week from today, approximately.
Yeah, actually, you're on next week on the 24th, next Tuesday.
Oh, okay.
So now you do know.
now I've got it confirmed.
Yeah, you're on next Tuesday. So I'm looking forward to that time. And hopefully, you know, I'll leave it open. Lord knows what's going to transpire in between now and then.
Oh, yes, things are moving very fast. I mean, it'll be like this from now on. You saw how fast Bush moved following 9/11. You'll see one blow to the Constitution after the other with this administration. That's the strategy. They are moving now. Why he has what they euphemistically call political capital. He has no such thing, but people, let's say, are at least a substantial portion of the this gullible populace that I'm referring to actually, you know, naively believes, you know, Obama's a good guy. He's going to help us. He's not this nasty warmonger Bush. After all, he's outlawed the war on terror, hasn't he? I mean, God bless him. I mean, we have to wake up the left in this country. We just have to wake up the left.
Mm-hmm. Well, I want to again remind the listening audience that they can go to your website, educate-yourself.org. If anyone would like to read the Union Jack, now can they enter a search item, or do they have to scroll through the
good
site?
Yeah, here's how to do it. I could tell you specifically, there is a how to get there. I'll do that first, but then I'll tell you the easy way using a search engine. To get there the conventional way, at the top of every one of my pages, there's a series of links at the very top of the page. There's rows upon rows of linked words. And one of those rows, somewhere in the middle...
Second from the bottom has letters. Second from the bottom on the left end, I recall.
Yeah, you remember that. But this might be the fourth or fifth row from the bottom, somewhere in the middle. It says the word British Israel.
Okay.
That's how you can get to that page. Now, here's the easier way to find it, though. Go to a search engine and first put in quotation marks. Type in quotation marks, educate-yourself.org, quotation marks. Okay, so that's first. Put it in quotation marks, that's important. And then put the plus sign, and then put the word The Union Jack. A bunch of returns will come up on a Google search, and probably near the top, if not at the very top, will be this book, which is posted in its entirety online on that page, the British Israel page. You can read it chapter by chapter in HTML, or you could download the whole book as a PDF. I have it both ways. That book is so important, it's off the chart. The value of that book is unbelievable.
Yes. And it's actually, it's just for the listener out there that's wondering what it's about, it's going to make a tie together that you can see the different ways in which religion is attacked, Christianity is attacked, and how these absurd political ideologies are promoted and pitted against the religions, that they have everybody here on earth waiting for Jesus to come.
Right.
Waiting, and in reality, you know, no one ever made that promise. The promise was in heaven, wasn't here on earth.
Right. Right, right.
It's a pretty simple argument.
Right. I gotta put a cap on that point.
Yeah.
There's a wonderfully spiritually advanced soul who died in 1952. His name was Paramahansa Yogananda.
Yes.
And before he died, he had a number of writings that were collated after his death, and were just published by his society, which is the Fellowship Society. Just, I think, 3 years ago, in 2005, if I remember. And the name of this two-volume book, I've got it, two-volume set of books, is called The Second Coming of Christ. But right away, when you open the book, Jesus wasn't talking about a physical return to earth. He was talking about awakening, a second coming of Jesus into the hearts of men. When they become enlightened.
Yes.
And that's what those two volumes are about. And yes, we could talk about that the next time if you want to.
I've read many of the books about Paramahansa Yogananda. The Autobiography of a Yogi is a very
important book. Beautiful book. Filled with wisdom.
Yes. I've got a small pocketbook called Daily Meditations, which is really...
Exactly, yes.
Very inspirational, and And it brings you to reality. It undoes all this mind control and this programming. Right. Because basically what we're describing and what the Union Jack deals with is the different ways that you are subtly mind controlled through the perversion of language.
Right.
And that was the topic that we talked about when we discussed these house bills this evening. We're dealing with semantics. We're dealing with wordsmiths. And the attorneys are masters at being wordsmiths.
Exactly.
And I'm going to be a master wordsmith right now and say goodnight to you, Ken, before Seth shoots us. And I look forward to your appearance on the 24th. You stay well and get some rest. And we'll say goodnight to our listening audience now. You have been listening to Evident Footprints on bbsradio.com and our special guest, Ken Adachi. Visit his website at educate-yourself.org. You will be one of 3.51 million people in January that visited that site. Those are remarkable statistics.
Yeah, that was amazing.
For a one-man operation. My hat's off to you. Special thanks to Don and Doug Newsom for making Evident Footprints possible here on bbsradio.com. Special thanks to Seth Hendrick for the sound tonight. Thanking Ron for calling in, all the folks that are emailing comments about the show, and most of all, you, the listening audience, for tuning in. Join us again tomorrow night. We've got another great show for you, great guests. In the meantime, I wish you a night filled with peace, love, and light, and have a good night.